Shall we open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, as Thy people, we gather together in this manner to praise Your holy name. Have mercy upon us to fill our hearts with Thy Holy Spirit, that we might worship You in spirit and in truth. Lord, we cannot offer an acceptable praise to Thee on our own, for we are corrupt men, fallen into sin, and out of our miserable condition, out of our wretchedness, here we come this morning. But we remember the call of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who said, "Come unto me, I will give you rest." And therefore, being urged by that gospel call, once again our hearts are drawn to Thee, O Father. And we thank You for this access that we have by the blood of Jesus Christ, who became a substitute for us, that we might be redeemed from all our sins and the wrath of God that once hung over our head. We give You praise, O God, that You have saved us from all vain human traditions, from idolatry, from godless behavior, from all things that once made our life a total shame and humiliation before others and before Thee. So God, we thank You that Thou art a gracious God, a merciful God, and also a faithful God who has done all things according to His promises. When we ask for Your forgiveness, You have granted it in great abundance. You have blessed us with wonderful assurance of Your salvation deep within our heart. Now we believe and are persuaded, O Lord, that You will keep us to the end. And therefore we give You praise and thanks once again this morning. Truly, Lord, we ask that You will bless us, because all blessings cometh from Thee. Thou art the Father of light, and therefore we stand before Thee to receive the light of our Lord Jesus Christ through the preaching of the Word, that our hearts may be strengthened once again, that we may see the things that we ought to see, and live according to the truth of Thy Word. And we pray this morning that You will bless this church, True Life Bible Presbyterian Church, for Your glory. As it stands in the wonderful tradition they have received through the preaching of the Word by Thy servant, late Reverend Timothy Toh, we pray that they will continue to remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We also remember Forreston Bible College. Lord, You know all the struggles of this institution that has faithfully remained in the work of the Lord, in teaching, equipping men who are called to be the servants of the Lord. Lord, many have come and gone through this wonderful institution, but few have remained faithful to Thee. We are saddened when we think of men who have wandered away and now speak against the college and its unwavering stand for the truth of God's Word. And we pray that You will have mercy to bring repentance to these men. And above all, we also pray that You will be glorified as we continue to seek to defend Thy Word through our writings, through our preaching, through our many different form of communication of the truth. Lord, bless the ministry of the college. Bless the board of directors. Bless the principal. Bless the matron. Bless the faculty members. Bless the students and all those who pray and support this work. And we thank you also for churches that stand together in this battle for the Bible, that we may remain steadfast to the very end. Lord, we know your coming is nearer than ever before. We see the things that are happening around us, the natural calamities, the political upheavals, all are signs of your coming. And therefore, we want to prepare for your return, that we may be found faithful at your coming. So, Lord, grant us a diligent spirit to examine ourselves, that we might walk in the way of the Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that your word constantly reminds us to cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of this world, that we might be vessels fit for the Master's use. Lord, we now pray that without murmuring and grumbling, with joy of heart, we would serve thee. For thou art our great King, our faithful God, whose mercy endureth forever. Standing in his grace, we commit ourselves to thee, O God. Bless the people who have come this day. Hear the prayers. Comfort those who are troubled in heart. Strengthen those who are distressed and disappointed by the promises that you have for them in thy precious word. Speak to every heart, O divine comforter, the Holy Spirit, that everyone may be once again awakened by thee to stand up in the might and power of God, to declare the glories of Christ. We thank you for this opportunity to turn to thy word. May we have the power in enjoying the truth of thy word. May thy servant have the grace from above to declare thy word faithfully and clearly to thy people. May them receive it for their own edification and for the salvation of sinners. We pray all this in the glorious name of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. What a great confession by Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:16. He said, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me." And he went on to say, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Apostle Paul was an extraordinary Christian. He was a man on fire for the work of the gospel. Everywhere he went, he stood up for Christ. Threatenings and persecution did not intimidate his spirit. I'm not saying he didn't feel troubled or afraid, but those things only drove him further to his Savior, to trust him in prayer and to find his strength. And he prayed often and he called others to pray with him. His life was an extraordinary life. And he was passionate about the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted to make full use of his life for the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, when I examine Paul's life, I realize one thing. This is my deduction, and I don't think I'm very far from the truth. You see him as a man who is so passionate about preaching the gospel that you feel that he is convicted in his heart that the best way to glorify Christ was by living a life to preach the gospel every day and every moment of his life. So, I would say, in the light of Paul's life, as we see it in the scripture, the best way to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ is to declare the gospel. And that's why, in summary, he says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, because the glory must go to God that He has called me to inherit the gospel and be a preacher of the gospel. It is not by my power I am able to witness the Lord Jesus Christ. It is granted to me. It's a gift. It's an honor. It's a responsibility that I am glad to bear on me, because it is an eternal honor to be a preacher of the gospel." He has no apology as far as his commitment to preaching the gospel is concerned. He has no shame. Of course, that's why he said to the Romans in Romans chapter 1, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." He was a passionate man. The whole of his energies, every nerve, every sinew, were strained in the work of the gospel. And that's why he spoke from his heart, "Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory thereof, for necessity is laid upon me." Let's take some time to think about this wonderful testimony of Paul. What is the gospel we ought to preach? Because Paul says, "I preach the gospel." What is this gospel? Well, that phrase, "preach the gospel," is a translation of one Greek word, which is a Greek verb, euangelizomai. Now that means preach the gospel. It's a verb. It's not two different words, preach the gospel. It is just one word. And this word is translated 23 times as "preach" in the New Testament, particularly in the King James Bible. 22 times, "preach the gospel," as we have it in our text. And twice translated as "bring good tidings," and twice as "bring glad tidings," or once as "show glad tidings," and another time as "declare glad tidings." So you realize the main focus of this verb is declaration, announcing to the world the good news, the good message that the Lord has given. It is the preaching of the gospel, the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was the focus of Apostle Paul's ministry. Now, let me bring to your attention a few things that I observed in the scripture concerning the word gospel. We are trying to define what is gospel, so it is important to take note of some of the interesting phrases in the Bible which describes the gospel. Now, seven times gospel is described as gospel of God, and one time as gospel of the blessed God. Now, what does it mean? Gospel comes from God. Its source is God. So the gospel that Paul preached was not a message that was conceived in the mind of a man. It was not the thoughts of a philosopher or a theologian. We are talking about the truth of God, that which God has revealed to us. And now you know why Paul was very serious about this ministry altogether. Why is he was so convinced that without preaching of the gospel, he cannot glorify Christ? Because he knew gospel is the only thing that would reveal the goodness of God to the entire world. If people were to know God as He is, they must know the gospel, because it is the gospel of God. It is the gospel of the blessed God. And again, the scripture describes the gospel in this way. And I'm going to mention to you the three other phrases that we find in the New Testament. Gospel of His Son. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And gospel of Christ. And the last phrase, gospel of Christ, appears 11 times. In the New Testament. So gospel of God is also the gospel of His Son. God has revealed His truth through His Son. He has spoken to us through His Son. And it is the message about His Son that God has given His Son to be our Savior. It is the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. Jesus means Savior, the one who saves us. It is the good news of the dear Son, the only begotten Son of God Almighty, that He became our Savior. That's what it is all about. Now again, there are a few more descriptive titles of the gospel in the scripture, which I'm going to mention now. It is called the gospel of the grace of God. When you understand the gospel, the Bible says you understand the grace of God. The unlimited, ever-flowing, unceasing grace of God toward you and me. You know, believing in the gospel is such a wonderful thing because it brings the ceaseless flow of God's grace to my heart. And now I stand here as a preacher of the gospel. Because that great wave that came down from heaven's glorious throne, the wave of God's grace brought me here today. I was a sinner, lost in the world, but the Lord drawn me out of it, saved me, molded me over the years, and gave me the courage and boldness to preach. And I'm very glad to stand by the side of Paul, though he's not here. By taking His word and expounding it by God's grace, I can tell you this must all abound unto the glory of His grace. Because the gospel that is in my mouth this morning, and for which I live the rest of my life, is all the story of His grace. Anyone who comes to believe in the grace of God, or the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, will now have an opportunity, endless opportunity, to think about, to contemplate, or even to experience the extent of God's infinite grace. It is also called the gospel of peace. This is the truth by which God reconciles the sinners unto Himself. Jesus came to this world to save sinners and to bring them to God that they may enjoy a peaceful relationship with God, and thereby they might always dwell in the peace that passeth all understanding. That's what gospel is called, gospel of peace. It's also described in the scriptures as gospel of your salvation. I'm delighted about that. Whenever I think about the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He died for me on the cross to take away my sins, and He resurrected in order to declare me justified, I am so glad, because that confirms my salvation. It's not about me that confirms my salvation. If I were to think about my faith, it often suffers. I am prone to doubt at times. I am very prone to be faithless at times. But He remains faithful because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And I thank God that gospel assures you and me of our salvation. So if you keep on believing the gospel, even when doubt assails your heart about your salvation, you say, oh, sure, I may doubt my own faith, but I can't have anything else other than what Jesus has done for me. So I cling on to Him. I know the weakness of my faith. I know my struggle. I know the doubts that creep into my mind. But where else I can go? Like Peter said to Jesus in John chapter 6. Where else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. So Lord, we cling to the gospel. These are words of eternal life. And what a wonderful description. It is also called the gospel of kingdom of heaven. Oh, it opens the door to God's kingdom. Heaven's door is wide open. We thank God for all those who died in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God for all those who heard the gospel and believed and died, because they are in God's kingdom. They are not wandering souls today. They are in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ because of the gospel. What great gospel we have. Now let's consider this question. What is the gospel that we ought to preach like Paul? Once again, now, I want to share with you with regard to its content, two things. First, it is the message that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. Now listen to me carefully. This is nothing new. Nonetheless, it must be reaffirmed in your heart today, if you have to be passionate like Paul in your life. Remember, the gospel is the message that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. Now let me explain that statement before I go to my second statement about the gospel. Now, when we say gospel is the message that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners, it requires us to proclaim Jesus as the only Savior of sinners. There is no other Savior. The name of Jesus is the only name that can save us from our sins. Like we read in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. You are familiar with that verse, isn't it? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other name under heaven. If you can, turn with me to Acts chapter 10. And see how the apostles talk about the gospel and the name of Christ. Acts chapter 10, verses 42 to 43. Keep in your mind, we are trying to understand the gospel that we ought to preach. What it is all about. Acts 10, verses 42 to 43. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead, to give him all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. You see that? Here we are told that the Lord Jesus Christ commanded his disciples to preach that he is the judge of all men. And moreover, in verse 43 we are told, to him give all the prophets witness. In the Old Testament, all the prophets of God bore witness concerning Christ. Even before Jesus was born into the world, the nation of Israel was living in anticipation of the coming Savior, because the prophets constantly reminded them that they need a Savior. Their salvation is not in the blood of animals that they sacrificed. The animals they sacrificed was only a foreshadow of the Savior to come. They did not trust the animals. They didn't trust any of the things that they have done. They trusted in the gracious provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the believers in the Old Testament time, listening to the preaching of the prophets, look forward with the eyes of faith to the coming of Jesus. Because, my friend, since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, till everything will consummate at the coming of Christ, there is only one name that can save us. You know what's that? The name of Jesus Christ. He was the adoration of all the great men who lived in the past. Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Daniel, name them all those great heroes of faith. They all look toward Jesus and rejoice that they have a great Savior coming. And when they put their trust in Him, they found salvation. And today we stand on the other side of the history. We look backward to the cross where Jesus died. And we confess the same truth. And that's why we are called Abraham's seed. Because Abraham believed in Christ. We believe in Christ. And we are all gloriously saved as God's children. There is no other name to be saved. And that's why we got to be so passionate about preaching the gospel. Because God has prepared only one way of salvation. And that is through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no other mediator between God and man, but the man, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so we have to preach it. Now, you must also remember, when we talk about Jesus as the only Savior, we point to His work on the cross. The redeeming work. Let's now turn our attention to 1 Corinthians 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And here Apostle Paul describes to the Corinthians what the gospel is all about. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. From verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." You see, he's again passionate about the gospel. So he says, "I'm preaching the gospel to you, which also ye have received, wherein ye stand." Verse 2, "By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." Oh, it's very important. Paul says, you must keep believing what I preach to you. And what is the message? Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." So what is the gospel? That Jesus died for our sins, according to all that God has prophesied in the Old Testament Scriptures. The Old Testament predicted about the place He would be born. Micah chapter 5 says it will be in Bethlehem. That's where our Lord was born. Isaiah talked about the truth that He will be conceived of a virgin and give birth to the Son, Emmanuel. And that was exactly what happened. Matthew testifies that in Matthew chapter 1. Isaiah 53 talks about His sufferings and His resurrection. According to the Scriptures, says Paul, Jesus has come. And He is the Lamb of God, as John the Baptizer said. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And where did He take our sins? When did He remove our sins? When He gave Himself as a sacrifice on the cross for you and me. That we might never again be condemned. And He resurrected, declaring His victory over sin, death, and eternal condemnation that once dragged us down. And dear friends, what great gospel we have. And when we preach this gospel, we talk about Jesus as the only Savior and what He has done on the cross. and in his resurrection. And we at the same time talk to them about the promise that this gospel gives to us. What great promises we have. Like John 3:16, we all know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Oh, praise to God. But have everlasting life. What great promise. We must talk about forgiveness, pardon of sins. We must talk about our salvation, the great promise of heaven. We must talk about the joy of salvation, peace. All these are accompanying blessings of the gospel. When we present the gospel like that, well, sinners will be brought to the cross of Calvary. Now, this is the gospel truth. Now, there is another dimension. When I said another, I don't mean a new dimension that stands contrary to it, but stands in total agreement with this, which sometimes Christians seem to forget or ignore, or many are ignorant. The preaching of the gospel also means preaching of all the truths of God's word faithfully. Preaching of the gospel also means preaching the word of God in its entirety. And why is it necessary that I must emphasize this point today? Because there is a general notion among Christians today that we can deny any aspects of the Bible and it be united in the name of the gospel. They tend to separate the gospel from the rest of the doctrines of the Bible. I hope you are following me. You know, they say that you can deny creation account in Genesis and yet you can preach the gospel. So, those who believe in the creation of all things in 6 days, and those who deny it, all can come together. Believers and deniers come together because we can preach Jesus. Now, I know not of any such thing in the Bible. I don't see that as a gospel enterprise. And I want to confirm this because the gospel of Jesus Christ does not stand separate from all that God has revealed in His Bible. Let's look at a couple of passages now. Turn your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 5. Verse 39. John's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 39. And see what Jesus himself said to the Jews who debated with him concerning his identity. Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 39. Jesus said, wonderful, isn't it? Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He said, search the scriptures, the entire Bible. They testify of me. You know, you may wonder why in the world God has put all those chronology, many lists of people's birth and the genealogy. Why is it there? Have you ever wondered? The chief purpose of it is to prove that Jesus is God's promised Messiah. He came in the line of Abraham, David, because God promised a seed to Abraham, through whom he shall bless all nations. Because God spoke to David that his son, David's son, will be the Savior and the King of Kings. God had a purpose in keeping his word as it is in our hands today, so that we might see the glory of Jesus in it. And Jesus Himself said, you want to talk to me? You want to know more of me? You want to lift my name? Then preach the word. Search the scriptures. Now look at what Jesus Himself did after His resurrection. Turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 27. The resurrected Lord revealed Himself through the preaching of the Gospel. And look at this, verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself. Beginning at Moses. Now, we don't have a book in the Bible that is called Moses. The first five books were written by Moses. So where does it begin? The book of Genesis. And through all the other prophets, all the prophetical books, the entire Old Testament was taken in His hand and He expounded it. He preached to them that He is the Christ and none else. You know, one of my prayers as a preacher of the gospel is that I will be a good expositor of God's word. But I wish I can sit down and the Lord will be here this morning to expound every verse of the Bible to us. He is a great expositor. We need His Spirit in our heart to preach. And that great expositor of the word, the Son of God who came from heaven, He tells us a great truth about Himself. That if you don't regard all of the books of the Bible, you will not see the glory of Christ as you should. And that's why we who are saved by the gospel, we love the Bible in its entirety. We don't like anyone to whisper in our ears, this wonderful word of God has mistakes of any kind. If this word of God is not preserved until the end of times, will we have a scripture from which we can expound the truth of Christ without mistake? God has promised to keep it. I want you to consider one more passage in this regard. Turn to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter 1. And see how Peter speaks of the word of God and the gospel, and how it is connected. 1 Peter chapter 1, please. He was actually defending the enduring nature of the scripture. And then he moved on to quickly to talk about the gospel. And this is how it goes. Verse 23 onwards, chapter 1 of 1 Peter. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we are all saved or born again or regenerated by the word of God. And he goes on to say about the word of God in this manner. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But, listen, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You don't talk about the gospel by denying the veracity of the word of God. It is very confusing. It is an erroneous thought. And I would even dare to say it's a hellish thought that says you can preach the gospel even though you deny the infallible nature, the enduring nature of the scripture. You don't see that in the Bible. You don't see Jesus preaching that. You don't see the apostles recommending any such thought. They all said very clearly, we must believe the word of God endureth forever. And it is based on that great truth we dare to preach the gospel. Because when we preach the gospel, we have no doubt about the identity of our Savior. which is clearly established in the Scriptures. He is the Messiah of the Bible. He is the true revelation. All the truth of God's Word is consummated in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the truth. To deny the Word is to deny Christ. I repeat, to deny the Word of God and its enduring nature is to question the truthfulness of Christ Himself. Yea, I preach the gospel. And I preach the Word of God. And I shall never cast doubt on the Word of God. Because if I do, I will pour contempt on my Savior. Now let's ask the next question. How should we preach the gospel? We have seen what is the gospel. And let's now ask, how should we preach the gospel? My dear friends, I hope and pray sincerely this morning that no Christian for that matter, whether in this church or another church, would ever refrain from preaching the gospel because he says he doesn't know how to preach the gospel. It's a shame. We are called to bear witness to our great Savior. We must make confession from our heart, with our mouth, that the Lord Jesus is Christ. And we must be bold witnesses of Christ everywhere we are, whether we are in our neighborhood or in our educational institution or workplace or in the church or just outside the church. We must preach the gospel. But how should we do it? Well, I like the way Apostle Paul said it to us in 1 Corinthians 9:16. What did he say? I preach the gospel. I bring good news. Now, what's the point of just talking about a good news to a tree or some birds? This good news, as we have already seen, is sent by God through the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation of sinners. And so, if you preach the gospel, you got to preach to sinners. You got to preach to people who are in need of salvation. And you got to preach to their heart. You got to preach so that they might hear and be convicted. And I would therefore simply say, preaching the gospel is preaching to the heart of every man. Not to the minds, so that we can debate. But with a prayer, Lord, let this gospel seed be implanted in every heart, that it may grow and bear fruit of salvation. We must preach to the heart. When you talk to your unsaved parents, when you talk to your unsaved siblings, when you talk to your unsaved friends in the community, oh, pray, Lord, when I speak a word for Jesus, let this go direct into their heart. And I want to say also at the same time, now, if you are not able to convey the message, but if you are able to bring them to the Lord's house, to the church, bring them. And then sit there and pray for the preacher, that when the preacher takes the word of God and expound it, it will go deep into the heart. Now some of you may say, oh, well, today is not a gospel rally. Today the message may not be directed to preach just the gospel alone. Now we have already established that the entire scripture and all the scriptural truths are to glorify Christ. And they do glorify Christ if the truth of God's word are preached faithfully. Some people wonder, if the preacher talks about sovereignty of God, will that help? Or if he talks about the election, or limited atonement, maybe these things will chase away sinners. Now, who told you that? That's your concept. It's not in the Bible. If those great truths are preached by the preachers for the glory of Christ, it must be the case all the time, then surely the Spirit of God knows how to win, and He does the work. We should not ever doubt the power of God. Some of you may think, if Dr. Koo keep on preaching on VPP, the verbal plenary preservation of the Scripture, can people be saved? I'm absolutely sure people will still be saved. In fact, more may be saved. Why? Because if you have a preacher up here who doubt the Word of God, no matter what he says, people will also question. But when a man is so strong about the conviction, about the truth that the Bible is true forever and ever, and he defends that truth against those who attack it, people will wonder, what is so wonderful about this Scripture? And when he lifts the name of Jesus in that message, they will be attracted. Now, never ever doubt about the power of the Word of God in convicting and bringing people to the Lord, as long as the preacher preached to the heart of the people. Not for mental debate, not to prove academic knowledge, but to glorify the Savior through the preaching of the truth. Sinners will be saved. I preach the gospel. Now, we know Paul not only preached the simple presentation of the gospel that Jesus died, nothing wrong about it, that must be always there. He also talked about sovereignty of God. He also talked about justification, sanctification. He talked about the last days, eschatological events. Now, all these are written in the Bible that to bring sinners into conviction that there is a God who is sovereign, who cannot be taken for granted. His word is true, and therefore must fear the truth of God's word. Now, let's not be pushed around by some misled Christians around us who say, oh, if you defend the truth, then people will not be saved. We will chase people away. You look like a terrorist or extremist because you say Bible is true. The fallacy of their thinking. We should not fear, my dear friends. Let's continue to preach the gospel. Preach to the heart. You remember that? Preach to the heart. There's a second thing I need to tell you this morning concerning how you preach the gospel. Preach with a humble heart. You preach to the heart of the hearers, but with a humility that is so necessary. Why did I say that? Do you remember what Paul said? Though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. When we preach, we don't rely on our own ability to persuade people. We don't preach as though we have cooked up something this morning. I didn't come here from things that I've drawn out of my own mind. I'm here to tell you what God has revealed in His Word, and that's all. There is nothing for Pastor Koji to glory this morning. I glory in my Savior. And if you do not give glory to God, your heart will be very proud. And you will not be a preacher of the gospel, you will be a preacher of your own selves. And that's why many people who try to preach the gospel end up debating and arguing and try to prove we are more intelligent than them and go away without winning anyone for the Lord. End up in debates and arguments and bad behavior, shouting at one another. And that cannot be preaching of the gospel. There is nothing to glory. I have nothing to glory. Let me also say, if we have nothing to glory, then better know if we were to preach the gospel, our strength is not in ourselves, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the third thing I want to mention with regard to how we ought to preach. Preach to the heart, preach with a humble spirit, knowing that the gospel is of God. And the strength that we have in preaching does not come from us, but from above, from the Holy Spirit. Are you not familiar with what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that blessed truth that Jesus told the disciples? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Jesus told them to tarry until the power of the Holy Spirit is given to them to go and preach the gospel. There we have a classic example of the need to wait on the Lord to preach the gospel. If you are not a praying person, if you are not a person who rely on the fullness of the Holy Spirit to guide you and to strengthen you to preach the gospel, you cannot be a winner of souls. It is not you who lead souls to Christ, but the Spirit that worketh through you. So give all glory to Him. And say like Paul, I have nothing to glory thereof. Finally, having found what the gospel is and how we should preach the gospel, let me quickly mention to you the answer to this question. Why should we preach the gospel? Why should we preach the gospel? For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Here you have the reason why you must preach the gospel. You can't take it for granted, my dear friends. If you are a true Christian, when you get out of this place, you've got to know this. You can't be indifferent about preaching the gospel. There's a reason why you cannot be indifferent. Paul says, first of all, the necessity is laid upon me. So we must say, just like Paul, standing in the grace of God, being saved by the gospel of Christ, the necessity is laid on me. Well, you ask, who did that? Who put the necessity on me? The Lord Himself. Our Lord Jesus said, we must go and preach the gospel. The Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, tells us that we must go and preach the gospel. Acts 1:8 that we read a while ago tells us to be witnesses of Christ. We must be bold to confess the name of Christ. Jesus said, if we are ashamed to confess His name, He will be ashamed to confess us before the Father and the angels. And we must understand this. A true believer, a true possessor of the salvation that God has graciously bestowed upon us through Jesus Christ, will be all the more happy to bear witness of this great blessing they received. Christ, the blessing of God upon us. Christ and His gospel, it must be at the tip of our tongue. We are not living today to curse, to shoo away people from Christ. We live now to bring everyone to Christ. That necessity is laid upon us. He demands that we must be true witnesses of Christ. And if every one of you understand this and take upon yourself like what Paul did, the preaching of the gospel, then, my dear friends, in the year 2010, we can expect a greater harvest of souls. And I hope in your midst there will be a gospel movement starting today, that every true life member, from the youngest child to the oldest member, will say, "Oh Lord, has laid upon me a great necessity to preach the gospel. I'm going to look around to preach the gospel. I'm going to look for someone whom I can preach the gospel." Do not return without bringing someone to hear the gospel, all right? What I meant is, try your very best. Because there are still many, plenty seats here. So you can't complain about no space. You can still bring. And we should bring the gospel to the hearts of the people. And bring them on. Bring them into this church to hear the gospel, that they might be saved. There is, of course, from our understanding of the context of this text, another reason why we must preach the gospel. Because of the sad destitution of this poor fallen world. You look at 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 to 23, very quickly. Let me read to you. To see how Paul felt about the desperate situation of the world in which he lived. And he said in 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 23, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that were without the law," that is to say the Gentiles, "as without the law. Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you." What a great understanding of the destituteness of the people of this world. Some may be weak, some may be powerful, some may be poor, some may be rich, some may be uneducated, some may be educated, but all are totally lost in this sinful world. Oh, Paul says, I might gain them by the preaching of the gospel. Whether young or old, I must win some, somehow. True lifers, let your name, True Life, be really true with you. How can you be a true lifer if you do not engage in the preaching of the gospel of everlasting life? Go on, now onwards, to be anything for the gospel's sake, to preach the gospel. Yea, so we can say before the Lord together, like Paul, "I preach the gospel, for necessity is laid upon me. There's nothing to glory of. It will be woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." Let me conclude by saying, look at that, the last phrase, "woe unto me." It's a curse not to preach the gospel. Now, if you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, my dear hearer, listen, the Lord says it's a curse for believers not to preach. Why? Because there is a greater curse hanging on you. If it's a curse for the preachers not to preach, how much more it will be for those who do not believe. So I plead with you today, as I preach the gospel, that you would leave your sins and come to the Lord Jesus and believe on Him, that you might be saved. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the word that is divided to us this morning. Lord, we thank you for the Spirit's presence and enabling in guiding us through thy word. Lord, renew our passion for thee. Renew our love for thee. Renew our love for the gospel work that is entrusted to us. Lord, you have not sent angels to preach the gospel to the sinners. You have given this commission to the church, to the community of the redeemed, to each one of us here, these brethren and I. Lord, we are the ones whom you have chosen to bear the name of Jesus. So Lord, we pray, we will never shy away from this glorious honor that God has bestowed upon us. Help us to preach the gospel to our friends, to our relatives, even to strangers, and even to the furthest corner of the world. Prepare us, strengthen us, send us with thy mighty power through the Holy Spirit and by the truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.